to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
The score. This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
I can't believe that Chicago has a pope, that America has a pope, and that he's bought from the South Side and he's a Sox fan.
The pope is way too relatable at this point, and I also think, like, what if God was one of us?
Way too relatable,
because the pope has always been up, right? He is always like the pope.
Yeah, think about the bubble, you know, the pope mobile.
Right, the pope from a distance on a mountain, just way, he's untouchable, and now he is touchable. He's just a slob like one of us.
Just a slob like one of us.
He's been to Aurelio's. He was at the
to the same pizza place as the Pope.
Can you imagine if Grobber was alive? I was there. I was at that game several years ago, and the Pope was there. I don't care what anybody. Pope Don Paul.
I was there.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's a Grody Day.
It's Grody time, yeah!
More Mark Grody.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody.
Ah, Grody.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from the Score?
That's how we end the Grody Open. The echoing voice of Bears PR. Are you from the Score?
That's right. I am from the Score.
You know what that sounds like to me? And I know, obviously, that's Anthony Rizzo's walk-up music, but the echo in him saying, are you from the Score, very much sounds like a 1997 techno club hit. You know what I'm saying? Where it's some
this
detached
song?
Phrase, and it echoes, are you from the Score? Then you just replay it. Yes, Ray.
I just want to clear up that this is very similar to the Anthony Rizzo walk-up music, but it's extremely, extremely similar.
Oh, that's right. This is delirious.
It's Steve Aoki, Boneless. Which if we were to play them side by side, you'd be like, oh, these are very damn near the same song.
Are they both Steve Aoki?
So technically, we're both correct. It's Delirious and Boneless. But you're right. I am wrong. The Anthony Rizzo is I forget the name of it, but I know it.
It is the Anthony Rizzo walk-up song, and it's hilarious. Some people... I know it's not. I think of Anthony Rizzo during... We got to play that here if we can here in a second.
No, we did that already. Remember, didn't we play the Anthony Rizzo, and it took us like forever to get to the...
Intoxicated.
Oh, no.
So there's Delirious, Boneless, and Intoxicated.
Different. It's the Anthony Rizzo song. We've got to play that. We've got to play that because just to clear up the confusion. Some people think of the Anthony Rizzo song as a club song, like because it gets played in the club, like our friend Gabe Ramirez. He's like, oh, that's a club song. I'm like, no, White Sox fan, that's an Anthony Rizzo song.
No, it's 100% a club song.
What are you talking about, Groat?
It's a Rizzo. Could we please play the Rizzo song?
Rizzo in his younger days liked the club.
Yeah, I'm with Layla on this one. You don't think that's a song that gets played in the club?
I believe it gets played in the club, but my reference to it is I think of Anthony Rizzo. Gabe Ramirez, and apparently you guys too, think of being out at the club. I think of being out at Wrigley Field.
But that was Anthony's whole point, wasn't it? Was that he used to go to clubs.
Let me tell you something.
This is a good question.
If I was at a game and Anthony Rizzo came up to the plate and this song played, I was like, oh, he's going to be at the club later on tonight. That's exactly how I would process that.
So you guys think he got it from being at the club.
Back in those days was that he would have been.
Okay. You guys might be right.
And he had his act together. It's not like he didn't come to the plate and mash.
Honestly, maybe we should work on getting Rizzo on because he was on Apple TV. He's officially doing media now.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to say maybe we should all go to the club together. But okay, that works too.
I'm so down.
Anthony Rizzo would not be seen with us at the club.
Would you guys want to be seen with me at the club? Would
sure.
You guys be, okay.
This is going to make me look cooler.
I got a place.
I think maybe the other way around.
We're definitely introducing you as Mark Grote. Mark Grote.
That's
right.
That's 100%
Mark Grote.
You're not Mark Grote.
Because it rhymes with sommelier.
What is this? Sommelier. What are you vibing to over here, Robbie?
This is still intoxicated, but the part that nobody really knows because Anthony Rizzo has already been at the plate at this point.
This is the piano break?
Yes, the piano break. Also, on a side note, I think you can combine the three song names for an epic album title, Delirious, Boneless, and Intoxicated.
Oh, like, technically, God. Delirious and Boneless are the same song.
Look, even better.
Okay, yeah. So what we've decided
I feel like
here,
all of those things just describe chicken and drinking.
We're going to the club.
Hey, I know two things that are not the same. The Mets and the Cubs. I'm just throwing it out there.
By the way, great job, Robbie. Good job.
I mean, we were
going to
get
DJ
there.
I'm the club DJ.
You're good, man.
It's okay. It's okay to have some fun, Marshall.
I'm here to have fun.
It's okay on a Monday.
But watching those last three games wasn't fun for me. And, you
Let's tell you who's working on our show. It is Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer. You can watch us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Our video team is Jenna Duddleston, Connor O'Donnell, and Matt Anaya. And additionally, like we said, 312-644-6767, our text line. You can comment on Twitch, but that chat moves at a million miles an hour. Now that I drive a show, it's a little more complicated to read. I also just want to point out that we have a meatball machine segment at 125. If you have Bears thoughts, draft class, apparently people just venting about their day. It's really interesting. We're going to put them all together and react because I know we wanted to pay that off. As far as wishing for the Anthony Rizzo walk-up song, I find myself after yet another Sunday where the Cubs are now 1-6 on the season, wishing for the same things that I have a lot of times. Like, I don't know what the Sunday clunker is happening here, but again, Cubs manage only 3 hits. They lose 2 of 3 to the Mets. And as much as we want to criticize the Cade Horton approach where Brad Keller ends up starting yesterday and then Cade comes in the middle and throws 77 pitches, that's the only game that resulted in a win. But when you needed another benchmark to measure yourself against that team, I just kept finding myself watching and going, these are two very different ball clubs.
It's not that they're different in that both of them don't play winning baseball. It's the one superior to the other for a number of reasons. One of them is a little bit not banged up right now. When you talk about Ian Happ having to miss time, and we hope that he's back today. Also, the starting pitching situation for the Cubs is very dicey right now, I think is the best way to put it. Their best two starters are not available. One of them's out for the season, and we don't know when Shota Imanaga will be back. So looking at that, and then if you just don't have a good weekend from your middle, your heart of the lineup hitters, it's going to be a long weekend against a good team. And I think what we're seeing is with the back-to-back series losses now is that the Cubs are a good team, but if they go up against other good teams, it's not always going to go very well for them.
Well, I think they've passed that test, though, quite a bit this year in terms of beating good teams because their schedule has been rugged, but they may have met their match in this particular series. And one of the things, just to add to everything you guys are saying right now, like with Ryan Presley not being trusted right now and all of a sudden Porter Hodge being thrust into that spot, I give him credit for Saturday. That was good, man. A one-run save in New York City, getting a 1-6-3 double play, which was sick. And but Layla, the Sunday problems. The 2-2 in the eighth inning, Porter Hodge and Gavin Hallowell took turns giving up home runs in that inning. And it just, they have now blown, what are they up to? Going into the game, 7 blown saves.
Are they up to seven already?
I think so. I don't want that issue to creep. That, like, that part was not supposed to creep back in to this year's team, right? Well, we had heart attack Hector Neris, hilarious heart attack Hector, and Adbert Alzolay last year. That was part of the early derailing, although April was pretty good last year, but then May, the slide. I think Porter Hodge is like somebody eventually who is capable of being a closer, and maybe he is even right now, and I'm being too critical over what happened in the game yesterday, but I'm allowed to be concerned about that based on what we saw last year.
I feel like when we're talking about these Cubs losses, especially on Mondays, we're talking about a performance that we've seen ad nauseum several years back. If I said to you, take the day out of it, that the Cubs managed only 3 hits and a loss to the Mets where they lost 6-2 because they had a closer who unfortunately had a breaking ball that not only wasn't breaking, it was the off speed was 85 and over the belt high part of the plate. You would say, what year is this? You would say it's either, pick a year, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025. Like, that's a common refrain, what we've seen. And unfortunately, it's happened a few times so far. That's what we end up talking about on Mondays, is the game before. Notwithstanding, we knew that the depth of the Cubs' best test, I think, given this current status of the team, was going to be a three-game series against the Mets at Citi Field. We're trying to figure out if Cade Horton is a viable piece in all of that. It would look that way. I think we're being too critical of Porter Hodge because people will have setbacks. But the fact that people are asking him to be perfect because they need him to be, thanks to other issues, where, you know, the fourth highest paid reliever in Major League Baseball and Ryan Pressly may not be producing at the clip we want, there's an issue.
Yeah.
That guy's making over $14 million a year. The Cubs know that. They of intelligent spending, wanted to take on his salary. So if that's the case, and he hates losing too, as we know, you're going to have to ask your big money guys to be worth the big money.
They sought him out. That's what's not crazy about it, but that's like the story here, is they said, we need bullpen help. They targeted him, got him to waive his no trade clause, and then to get these types of results. And I'm not saying they're going to continue, but there's no indication that things are going to get better with Ryan Pressly. That's the biggest issue I have with what's going on with the Cubs bullpen. And we know the closer, we had a closer situation with Porter Hodge. He looks good one day, looks bad the next. There's no sense of stability there right now in the back end of the bullpen. Even when you talk about other guys like Daniel Palencia, Brad Keller, guys who you thought maybe they can be a part of the solution. When you have to use Brad Keller as an opener in what becomes a de facto, not necessarily a bullpen game, but where you're not going to get length out of your would-be starter in Cade Horton, it all adds up to a problem. Now, the good news is they've got a nice stretch here where they can get things back with 21 straight games against teams under 500.
I like that.
Some of them are hovering around 500. Yeah. Let's be clear. They're not all going to be as bad as the Marlins and the White Sox, but this seems like a very much get right stage for the Cubs.
They've earned it too. I mean, they've been right.
That's not the issue. The issue is how you're judging this team based on whether or not they're going to be viable moving forward.
They've been a little wrong
for contending.
I don't think, when I say get right, I'm talking about specifically the bullpen piece of this. Figure out who you can depend on by running them out there against lesser teams, not as big challenge, getting them either in a rhythm, some confidence, whatever that takes. Because if you're looking for help for the bullpen, you know it's going to be a while. We're at the quarter mark, basically, of the season. I don't know that they're going to be able to find help internally before the trade deadline to say that the guys that aren't on the roster right now, that the active roster, aren't going to be the ones who have to figure this out.
The best get-right situation for the Cubs bullpen is even what happened yesterday where Matt Boyd goes six. Like, that's my issue. The starters are at least doing what they can. You had to get Cade Horton indoctrinated into the baseball, like, into MLB. You had to have that happen. I don't criticize the way that worked out at all. Brad Keller then comes in and throws an inning. It's when Hodge, who's been used a lot, comes in and then trying to figure out what happens after that, where there was an issue. I actually think the right thing was what they did with Hodge. They didn't leave him out there, you know, because they know they need his arm.
I'll give Hodge a chance. You're right about that, Layla. It just brings back what happened last year where you had to go to your second closer because the first one, Alzolay, didn't work, and here comes Hector Neris, and he eventually didn't really work either.
It's when you look at the money, too, that makes it...
Yes.
When you know how much the Cubs value those types of contracts, that's what makes this, I think, a little more pressing, because you worry they're not going to spend the resources necessary to bolster this in any other way than what we're seeing. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. It is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody, and on the scores we talk about the Cubs. But I think the biggest takeaway is that in the beauty of all of this schedule, you've raised your standard, and we're seeing it play out in this way where we are talking about the details. You know, we are talking about whether or not your starter today, for example, and we probably don't appreciate Matt Boyd enough in that he's, you know, he's probably your most underrated Cub right now in a way.
8 strikeouts, no walks yesterday, and like a sick moment in the game where he picks off Acuna over at first base.
Right.
And then the next pitch he throws is a strikeout of Lindor, inning over. And the guy, was it Gary Cohen doing the play-by-play? I think it was Gary Cohen. He was obsessed with an illegal pickoff move that Matthew Boyd, like throughout the whole game, like two or three times, he is basically calling out Matthew Boyd and begging the umpires to notice. So I didn't really appreciate that out of Gary Cohen, the Mets announcer.
That is such a Mets broadcast type of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you watch that broadcast, he's snitching, which I think is one of the best in the league, that doesn't surprise me.
I think whenever you're dealing with New York anything, as far as broadcasting go, there's going to be a certain air of, we know what we're talking about and you should bend to our will. Is that fair?
The Mets broadcast to me
it's actually really good. The Keith Hernandez.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. It's probably one of the top three in baseball.
I'm just talking about that. Like, it just felt like he was really into that illegal pickoff. I'm like, just shut up.
Can you get to the Gary Cohen bass voice like that? I cannot.
He's a very calm. Does he have a ton of bass?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I guess he does. Kind of does it down here. That's that's Parkins range right there.
It is Parkins range.
Yeah. Lower than I can go.
Oh, there's a good stat that Michael Cerami of Bleacher Nation. There you go.
It's my buddy Levy. Hey, what's going on? Right?
That is good. Michael Cerami of Bleacher Nation posted a really good stat that indicates Cub hitting is not consistent right now. One is good, one is bad. Which one would you like to start with?
I'll take the bad so we can build up after the bad.
Yeah, we got to have somewhere to go.
All right, since April 20th, these are the numbers, thanks to Michael. Kyle Tucker, the guy I wanted to produce in this series, batting .219, slash line .219, .351, .406.
I'm okay with that.
Since April 20th.
That's a downtime, but the peripherals, I can accept that. It's not giving Turner.
Hey, it's not my money I'm spending.
Oh, the real Kyle Tucker is the preseason Kyle Tucker. Oh, my God. He's coming back to the mean.
No.
Let me tell you something. He's not getting paid like the preseason Kyle Tucker. I can guarantee you that.
That would be the hot take Monday that we don't need. Yeah. But here's the good one. You know this man by the name of Dansby Swanson.
Oh, he's been raking.
Yeah, he has. He has. And congratulations to Dansby and Mallory Pugh. How about that? Expecting a little one. That was an adorable announcement. So Dansby Swanson slashing since April 20th. .323, .391, .597, .176. Weighted runs created plus.
Four home runs in his last 11 games, if I may add that, Layla.
What was that slug again?
.597.
Listen, anything over .500, I'm like, oh, you're able to carry the bat into the lineup and scare people.
Why did I sing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know.
Was that like a heavenly sing you just did?
It was me being happy about it.
Oh, that's so nice.
Okay.
And it was Mother's Day, and Mal gets to celebrate it.
Aww.
Layla, can we agree that the downtime for Kyle Tucker is, if that's going to be your downtime, I can live with that for a stretch for 2 weeks or whatever. I can live with that.
It was going to happen, right?
Yeah. So like if you're still getting on base 35% of the time.
His OPS wasn't going to be .1200 for the season.
Exactly. Carson Kelly? What?
His is .1400 for the season, guys. Let's go.
If you're in a slump and your OPS is still over .750 during the slump, I can live with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that. But more importantly, Dansby Swanson is hitting. Let's continue that. He's squaring never stopped playing a good shortstop, a great shortstop, might I say.
Yep.
But now that he's hitting, you're like, okay, we have other people who can pick up the slack when Kyle Tucker does go into a little bit of a funk. And now the best news is the next week and a half, everybody should just start hitting.
If only it were that simple.
It's not.
Just keep these men away from Sunday. Tell them it's another day of the week. Is that possible?
What other bad things happened? Oh, yeah, the third inning. Cubs had runners on first and second, nobody out, and they didn't score on Sunday. Layla, you're onto something.
We'll see if they can get it done against... What year is this conversation, Grody, when you say that? What year are we talking about?
Like in terms of Cubs not scoring runs?
Yeah, I feel like we've had that discussion at the score times infinity for the last three years.
I mean, even in the end of the Cubs World Series core.
The offense is broken.
That's where the offense was broken, and everybody had to move out the door, and for the most part, the Cubs were right about that, except for Schwarby and... I guess Rizzo to some degree.
They're really wrong about Schwarby, though.
Really wrong about Schwarby.
Did you see the clip that he is on?
He's hitting balls very far and hard.
Word.
He's fun
often
to watch.
Frequency also is the thing.
Yeah. Did he hit one that was 113 off the bat the other day? I just was looking and I'm like, that's not a real number.
PCA hit a 101 mile per hour HR this weekend in New York, from whence he came. From whence organization
all,
he came.
First of all, Kyle Schwarber ties with Aaron Judge for the Major League home run lead at 14.
Get him, Schwarby. Go get him.
God. He's OPSing 998. That's
better. You know, I'm not a mathematician, but that seems better.
404 on base with a 593 slug.
Hey. Okay. Yeah. What was that noise again? The I mean for Parkins?
I mean.
Yeah, what he said.
And you have to do your singing.
Right? Yeah, 597. Okay, so we're going to switch gears.
I mean.
Colston Loveland was, a.k.a. Ryan Pohl's voice twin, was on with the morning show earlier today. And there are some details that involve some injury discussion that we want to take a deeper look into. So that is happening next. Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody, midday show on the school.
Taco to go. Taco to
and a big Q.
Taco to go.
Taco to go.
Just
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go. Taco to go.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go. Four.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on. So we have a little bit of breaking news. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. For the first time since Jordan partially owned the Hornets in 2023, MJ is going to be back in an NBA capacity. The NBA on NBC announcing via Twitter that they have added Michael Jordan as a special contributor to the network's NBA coverage starting next season.
When the music played, I thought you said he was unretiring again. I was really excited to go see him play.
The draft lottery is today.
Oh, it is today.
Maybe there's a chance.
Well, there was once upon a time ago at 1.8%, or was it 1.7?
No, it's 1.7. It's 1.7 tonight, too. It's 1.7.
That is amazing.
So
okay, so cool. So number one, the Bulls are going to get the number one overall pick. And Michael Jordan is back in the NBA.
Celebrate.
Does Michael Jordan coming back, does that tilt the odds in the Bulls' favor? Is that worth something? You've got, okay, hear me out. Hear me out. Jordan's back. The draft lottery is in Chicago, so they have home court advantage. Tell me that doesn't mean something.
What about that whole play-in situation where they lowered their odds of getting the first overall pick?
Why are you doing
this
to
me? Did that mean nothing to you?
You're trying to rile me up right now. I'm not.
With the facts?
We have a segment for this later.
Go ahead.
No, this is the segment.
This is the segment?
We've moved NBA. Well, not that part, but we're talking NBA right now, so you can talk about it.
Okay, so.
Don't save your thought when the thought is in front of you.
I know it's 1.7. I know in the 40-year history of the draft, going back to 1985, the draft lottery, the 40-year history of the draft lottery, there have only been two times where a team with these odds, 1.7%, actually won the draft lottery. Those two instances, 2014, Cleveland Cavaliers, Andrew Wiggins, 2008, Chicago Bulls.
2008.
Derrick Rose. Tell me why tonight can't be the next time. And here's why it should be the next time. Because we do all this talk about how tanking is bad and you shouldn't reward teams who tank. This is the perfect opportunity for the NBA
to cheat.
To cheat, effectively, and say, you know what? The Bulls deserve, well, I don't know, that's arguable, but the Bulls should get the number one overall pick because at least they try. They try to win basketball games when they know they shouldn't.
So you want to, in the name of MJ, you want to reward mediocrity.
No, I want to reward effort. There was
you
effort
You want to reward
made.
sub-500 basketball.
I want to reward
and you
effort.
Did it, and you did it after bringing up Michael Jordan's return to the NBA.
They're all sub-500.
You think those two are the same?
All 14 of those teams are sub-500. At least this team was trying to win.
I love the concept of the Bulls trying to get the first overall pick. I do want to address what the NBA is doing. How much money did they have to give Michael Jordan to have even this title?
What is he?
And I feel like special contributor, I think that means he shows up when he wants to.
But like, is 100%. It a per game thing, or is it just a flat fee and then you show up, we give you 15 dates where you come in and do your thing? Is he in studio? Is he on site? I have so many questions.
I haven't said anything else.
I think they just bring him in and they're like, okay, so what did you think about Gary Payton? A lot of people said that he covered, the glove. You talk about the glove. I think they ought to do that.
When you consider that they're bringing back the theme song.
Yeah.
And they've decided to use Jim Fagan's voice.
Old Teshy.
Through AI. And now they want to bring back Jordan. What year is this?
I mean, I think you're
what
right.
What in the name of the 1990s is going on here? And Layla? I can't say I'm mad at it.
Oh, from a nostalgia standpoint, this is a dub on top of a dub on top of a
contributor
dub.
Contributor could mean that he is going to do five things this year. You know what I mean?
If he speaks on basketball at all.
It's a treasure.
It's something that we have not heard. I mean, Kobe's funeral, was that the last time where MJ really talked about the game, or at least about an aspect of it, when he eulogized Kobe Bryant?
Who has been more accessible to us in the last 30 years? Popes around the country or Michael Jordan? I'd almost argue it's been the Popes, because Jordan does not make himself accessible to the people, especially in Chicago. He really, I mean, like, that's the next step. Like, this is cool that he's, like, back in the NBA, but when's Michael Jordan going to re-embrace Chicago?
You know, here we were on Friday talking about how we can't handle the Pope being American, and the whisper of Michael Jordan speaking about basketball has induced Marshall to want cheating.
And Grody's with me.
I'm complicit.
I'm with you, Marshall.
Has induced Marshall and Grody to want cheating and some sort of frozen ping pong ball scenario where the Bulls get the first overall pick again. And by the way, Duke is with you, because the Bulls posted a video today on Twitter and they were like, hoping a ping pong ball goes our way. And it's this cute little video of this ball bouncing. And Duke's like, you guys should draft a Blue Devil. And I'm like, stop it, Duke. Stop it right now. Stop with this crazy talk.
Probably won't be that Blue Devil, the one that you're thinking of. But yes, they should draft Cooper Flagg if he becomes available wherever they're picking, whether that's first, 12th, 13th, 14th.
To get this man to Chicago.
Simply invoke the name of Jordan, and we have gone off the rails. You're comparing him to the Pope in a hot take.
Well,
what's up,
that's
Ray?
Not a hot take.
Am I wrong?
Comparing Michael Jordan to the Pope is not a hot take.
That is not a hot take. Worldly respected, universally liked. I guess I can't call the Pope universally liked. That would
be a mistake. The Pope didn't take anything personally.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. Maybe as a cardinal, I don't know the situation.
But people look to Michael Jordan taking things personally and say, that's how you win by any means necessary. You know, friendship and teammates' egos and all that out the window, because it's Jordan, the greatest to ever do it, according to some sources. And so I think...
Some sources?
Some people are LeBron stans. You know the deal.
Here's the thing, though. It's not like the Chicago market wasn't going to watch the NBA on NBC. We were going to watch.
No, this is just good for the game. Forget about Chicago specifically right now. This is good for everyone.
Ray, you've been raising your hand.
That's right.
Oh, hey, Ray.
So Michael Jordan, this is apples to oranges comment I'm about to make, but Michael Jordan's going to be a special contributor. There's a very high possibility that Michael Jordan can, as you said, one of you threw out three appearances in the NBA season. Let's say five appearances throughout the NBA season next year. And in those five appearances, Michael Jordan could be extremely, extremely more interesting than a full season of Tom Brady in the NFL.
And check this out. You guys ready? It will come back to Chicago. I think these are the first steps in Michael Jordan buying the Bulls.
Oh, my word.
The Bulls are not yourself. No,
if you're doing it,
now you're hearing me? You guys
get some help.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, Robbie. Get some help.
These are the first steps. This is it. This is okay. Here's what we need you to do. We just need you to show yourself a little bit on NBC. Then slowly but surely, we're going to move you in the direction of Michael Reinsdorf, and we're going to have you write a check and buy the Bulls, and it's going to be great. And the Bulls.
What makes you think Michael Reinsdorf or the Reinsdorf family at large has any intention of ever selling the Bulls?
I mean, everybody sells eventually. I mean,
no,
people
just die and pass it on to the next.
Okay, well, I mean,
no, both are true, actually. Teams do sell, and some teams pass it on to the next.
Are we talking about it with the White Sox? Like,
yeah, they don't like the White Sox. Have you seen the product they put on the field?
Okay, well, it could happen with the Bulls eventually. How much do they like the Bulls if they're not investing in that team? And 20,000 people show up every night.
They are investing. They're investing enough that people show up every night. Guess what? Win or lose, people are doing what, Mark?
They're showing up at the United Center. That's exactly right. Okay. So they're not investing in the team. People show up no matter what.
If you right? have one question to ask Michael Jordan Ooh. As a basketball commentator,
yes,
what is it? Oh. I mean, for me, it's state of the
okay,
game, probably.
I got it. I want to know his top five current players. That's a question. Give me your top five guys. That I would love to know who he truly respects in the NBA right now. Other than, let's even leave LeBron out of it. Let's not overcomplicate
no,
it.
Wait, why would you leave LeBron out of it?
Because he's 40.
No, it doesn't matter. You think he okay. doesn't know his career? He okay. has to hear about him all the time.
All right. Maybe I should have said the question, the best five young players in the league. But I'll
players
I'll
under
stick
30?
With
players the, under 30?
Can we do that? Sure. That's what I'd be interested in. What about you guys? That's what I would want to know.
I'll
I want to know his
favorite.
I'll
see you and raise you with the best five overall to him.
Anyway. Oh, I like that, though.
All time?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying like the best five currently overall.
Okay. Oh, I thought you meant all,
age
all in history.
Standing.
Okay.
All right, so my question is very simple. Michael, you could change one thing about the game. Rules for ownership, rules for the CBA, rules for in-game play. What would you change about basketball? What would you change about today's game?
The thing that I like about all of this is, say we even ask those three questions to MJ for the entire bloody season next year. That changes the entire narrative of other networks if he speaks on those three questions.
Yeah.
So whatever NBC is paying him, it's worth it already. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth it. I got to find out how much they're paying him. I'm so curious. Like, what do you think? Like, there's some, you know, executives going back decades with MJ, with the NBA, with, you know, when you talk about Ahmad Rashad, Willow Bay, like, there's
yes,
there's
inside
history.
Stuff.
There's history there, right? With Michael Jordan and the way he used to interact with the media. So I want to know what that first phone call was. I'm going to call Michael and say what? And how is it presented to him?
Maybe you just play a speaker. You just hit play on the speaker and it's...
Or no. Maybe you will a keyboard. Or no, get grand. Take a baby grand piano and pull it out of the back of a truck.
You
and John Tesh
up.
Is wheeled up to his like front gate. And they ring the buzzer. And he just starts playing.
And he's wearing the purple vest
yes.
and that white shirt
yes.
with the weird collar.
There's a few entertainment shows. Also, Tom Cruise today. Chuck Swirsky, guys. Joe Bag of Donuts.
What'd he say?
He says the following. He says, NBA is serious. Very serious. Upon their return to the NBA, play-by-play broadcasters are superb. Mike Tirico, Noah Eagle, Jay Crossover. Is that Jay Williams? Jay Crossover? Reggie Miller, TNT, and now Jamal Crawford,
yes.
sick, and now MJ contributing from time to time. Wow! So Chuck Swirsky, voice of the Bulls, aka Joe Bag of Donuts, has spoken.
What question would Chuck ask MJ?
That's what you text him.
Oh,
text him.
What? I will. Oh,
yeah,
that's,
text
I will.
Him. You
I
can
will
do that. Yes, okay, while yes. he's doing that, listen to this.
We're multitasking on the score. Yeah,
the NBA on NBC is serious business.
Serious.
That's what this is all telling me. This latest move is just because there's such an affinity for that era of basketball for people who were, if you were around back then, you know what it was.
The NBA on NBC was the premier brand.
And everything else was just kind of like, but it's not the NBA on NBC. Even when other networks got involved. I mean, you can say what you want about TNT, their studio show, superb. But the basketball games that used to be on way back then were very much second fiddle to the NBA on NBC. Do you know how many times I rushed home from church on a Sunday to catch that doubleheader?
Mm-hmm.
And the four-minute open where they're slow dissolving into the storylines and you hear the piano and the crescendo and all of that?
Listen, when you got home... And you, when those four teams, whoever they were, and usually it was the Bulls, usually it's some version of the Bulls, the Suns, the Warriors,
Knicks,
the Lakers, the
Pistons,
Knicks,
Robbie.
The Pistons, that was a prime time. That's when games meant something.
Yes, sir.
In the regular season.
Yes, sir.
Bring it back.
Yes, sir.
Two things I love when Marshall gets hyped. Number one, when there's a clap. If there's a clap in the middle of the discussion, I know it's going to get good. Or when there's like a woo, that's how you know you've leveled up in the Marshall
right.
Harris discussion.
He eliminated me during the pre-show meeting. He's like, Grody, I'm going to get you, man. I was like, whoa, take a break.
He took that personally.
Yeah.
I mean, Marshall's already ready. He has the Jumpman hoodie on right now.
Yeah. Good to
It was clean.
This
it
is
was written.
Awesome.
You know what and else it, is written? Yeah, you know what else is written?
And another basketball segment that we might do on the
from
show.
From the 90s. Run TMC forever.
How he feels about Steph.
Oh, my goodness.
I do. Okay. It's probably going to happen.
I'll wait for a Chuck Swirsky return.
So, yeah, how about that
return?
Breaking news? Yeah. We get MJ on commentating, hopefully, in some way, shape, or form on the game. I think it's a wonderful piece of news for the NBA overall. And what do you think about the All-Star game? So many questions for MJ. So little time. We look forward to that coming up. And then next on the score, I guess we should discuss the Colston Loveland thing still, aka Ryan Pohl's voice twin. So now we will next discuss what we heard in his interview with Mullionhaw this morning and why you might want to be concerned. That's next.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big Q.
Taco to go, taco to go.
Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He's competitive. He's super competitive. When it, you know, I was a tight ends coach before this. I got to watch Colston a little bit right at the end of last year, and I was like, man, I would love to be able to coach this guy. It just so happens that I end up here, and we end up acquiring him, and we're certainly very excited about, you know, the competitiveness, the person. He's been out there. He's been really inquisitive, and he's very involved.
You know what I would love to see in the words of Ludacris? This is Raheemi and Harris with Mark Brody on The Score. I want to see some more rollouts. I would love to see that.
Because that's the song that's playing right now. I see
but
what you
I want to see that in the offense. I've been wanting to see more quarterback rollouts for a minute, actually. That is also a multi-year sports problem for me.
And do it in the Georgia Dome, you know?
On the 50-yard line?
Yeah.
Where the 31st kick for three?
And then maybe, you know, defensive lineman for the Bears can get up in somebody's business.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so enough of the ludicrous, even though I love it.
Well, I just don't want them to act a fool anymore.
Hey, man, Atlanta's right where the players play.
They need to get back. I need people to not know them like that.
I understand what your fantasy is. Go ahead.
Oh. Does you have a fantasy?
It's the ludicrous quote along.
I know.
I would also like them to get back. I'm just saying.
They don't know.
That's like that. Kind of a badass song, actually.
It is a great song.
It is.
It was great in, what's the movie with where Crash? Robert Downey Jr. plays
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, Tropic Thunder, yes. That's it.
Why do I feel like all of those songs are going to get pushed into some sort of, as history does, some sort of summary of like every song about being a millennial from like 2002 to 2019 was about getting in some sort of altercation.
And they're all going to be song, and they're all about...
Because we were younger then, that's why.
Hey, because it's not our fault. Y'all don't care about nothing. We cared about everything. We also care about this. Colston Loveland, a.k.a. Ryan Poles' voice twin, was on with Mully and Haw this morning. Marshall, you need to hear it through our headphones, and then you'll know where we're at, because you were at the Barrett conference on Friday. But there was a takeaway in this that, Mark Rohde, you found. I feel like we're almost doing a mini Bears hit right now.
Yeah, yes. It was something that he said about his injury last year and about not knowing that he needed surgery at the time. So my antennas went up because right now he did not participate in the rookie minicamp. That's right. The antennas went up. Did not participate in the rookie minicamp. We're being told that he'll be available for training camp. But we know that doesn't always work out. Are we getting ripped off of the off-season program right now because he should have had surgery? This is what we're dissecting and trying to figure out, and I'm trying to be as rational as possible. But first, let's listen to what Colston Loveland said specifically to Mullionhaw about surgery and the injury to his shoulder.
I'm doing great now. Finally, you know, it's good to get it fixed. But maybe things would have been different if I actually knew throughout the season that I needed surgery, but I didn't know I needed surgery till after the season. And then just playing through it, like I've always been taught and just growing up, like the team's first, you got to do whatever to help the team win. You got to play through injury sometimes, you got to play through pain. And, that's something that I did for sure. Like I said, it's all about the team, and I'm trying to put the team first and everything. So however I can go out there, do my job, and help the team win, is that's what I want to do. So
he didn't know he needed surgery. I want to know when he could possibly have had surgery, and who exactly is that on?
Layla. Well, okay, so here's the thing. Loveland did get the surgery to repair that AC joint that was dislocated, according to Adam Schefter. That was the news we got about it. About, I want to say in February, and the surgery was on January 29th. That's when it actually happened. But Ryan Porth, our intrepid reporter, he found this audio. Michigan Titans coach Steve Kasula on Loveland's injury in September. Whoa.
Our program in general, forthright about making sure a guy is fully available to play and not never in harm's way, so to speak. But relative to, are you asking about his preparation level?
Yeah. Would you feel comfortable?
There's a guy we're going to let roll, man. It'd be him. So he's played a lot of football for us. His understanding of the offense, his recall, his retention from meetings, there's in the way college football functions. I mean, there's things that we've asked Colston to do in the game already this year that maybe he didn't get that exact look at or that exact rep of. And you wouldn't be surprised to know if you know Cole, they've gotten really good. But at the same time, we're not at a disservice to him, not at a disservice to us by any means. But if, you know, he's a sharp guy that's really gifted and has played a lot of football and really understands the offense, really watches a ton of film. Really, he could sit here and talk to you about his opinion of USC's defense and the coverages they play. And I was just walking out of my office and he just looked at me and goes, man, they play X, Y, or Z in this area of the field a lot, huh? And you're like, yeah. So he's on top of it. He's a sharp guy.
Okay, so the AC joint dislocation, which is basically the same thing as a separated shoulder, there's varying degrees of that, right? So sometimes you can put it on a sling and it just heals on its own.
First degree.
I think that's what he thought it was. That's why he's trying to play through it at first. And then he got to the end of the season like, yeah, you need surgery. I think that's what happened here. And that's what he meant when he said what he said about, I didn't know I needed surgery. He was probably told by whatever doctors he went to, you can play with this if you can tolerate the pain, and then it will just heal on its own. I don't know if something further happened that required the surgery or if they just determined surgery was the best cause of action.
And yeah, so maybe, and you know, I came in hot over it, but after reading some of that and listening to it, it very well could have been Colston Loveland who decided that he was going to play through it. I hope that the Michigan doctors had his best interests in mind as opposed to Michigan's interests in mind, because here we are, his professional career begins with him on the sidelines. And I know he was doing some things out on the rookie practice field, but I hate that the Bears' top rookie is not participating, and while they say he's going to be good to go for training camp, I'll believe it when I see it.
The fact that there had to be a statement about it, you know, that part of it as well, I think, is why we're all discussing this. Like Ben Johnson saying about his recovery process, it's a matter of meeting, watching the tape, walking through, particularly with a guy like Colston right now, who's a little dinged up still. That's a graceful way of putting it.
Yeah.
So we're rehabbing him. That's a priority for us, getting him back healthy, because the sooner he gets back healthy, then we will get the full speed reps, and that's where it all comes together. So it's more mental, and we're going to take full opportunity of the time that we have with him over the next 6 weeks in terms of getting him up to speed. All of that makes sense, but it's the fact that we have to talk about it. That's the issue. He did miss the Ohio State game, as we've discussed, missed the last two games of the season. And so you knew it had to be pretty serious for that to occur. But the overall issue is just like what you said, Mark. Yeah, they're paying people now. But what does that mean when it comes to making sure that the injury approach is more sound?
Listen, they took him with a 10th overall pick, and they had the medicals on him. So obviously they didn't see anything that was prohibitive from taking this guy in the first round and thinking he'll be ready to go to start the season.
Yeah, the Bears have a history of doing that.
Oh, man.
It hasn't gone well for them. I'm not saying that this is the same, but it's worth pointing out. I just saw who walked into the studio. You are in for a treat. Next on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody, it is the Athletic Football Show's Robert Mays in studio. We get a taste of the Athletic Football Show live next on The Score.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big Q.
Taco to go,
taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco, to go. Taco, to
this deal legit.
Taco, to go. Taco,
only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99.
Taco to go.